this starts at 8:30.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Hey,
James.
Hey,
man.
Good.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I appreciate
it.
You did,
try?
I did.
How's
that? They've asked me to do it on this election.
Oh, they did? Yeah, with Ben.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Is it okay?
Yeah. I mean,
Rinko?
Is it not like working from? Yeah.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm serious.
Rita, I think I can remember that name.
That's amazing. Yeah. You just made my day.
Yeah. You look like my...
That's hilarious.
Rita.
Yeah, that's actually a lot for me.
That's how I do it, by association.
Yep, she had red hair.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah,
that should be easy.
Yeah.
I'm Matt. I don't know if I mean, I see you all the time, but I'm not sure we've had a chance to meet.
Yeah, because I nice to meet
you.
Nice to
meet you. Illustrious ODC, sir.
Okay.
Good morning, my darling.
So you're going to be, you have to work with council members, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
You have my sincere sympathies.
She is absolutely amazing. Harley,
I'd much rather be on these four jacks, but.
She'd have to be to work with this buff here.
She's been a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
Go-go.
What law do you work with the council on? Any particular thing, or are you a general practitioner?
General practitioner.
General practitioner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got a little bit of. I was the chief of litigation for several years, and then I was counsel to the school board.
Oh, okay.
And then I came back to.
Well, that's an education over there.
Oh.
A lot of people don't know that the OGC handles the school board.
Mm-hmm.
Rita's a spy from Baker County.
I'm a spy for Baker County.
And born and raised.
I'm going to tell you, Baker County is on fire right now.
Yeah,
they are growing like crazy.
It is.
Yeah. Whatever the sauce they're using down there, it's working.
It just feels like a different.
I bet it does.
You know, when you get home, it's just different.
Are you from Baker County originally?
Mm-hmm.
Why? The big city?
Yeah, this is the big city.
Well, McClenny, the big city in Baker County.
I guess.
I had an employee from Baker County one time.
She's booming.
Boy, she had the most southern of accents.
They got
well, it's funny because I grew up here.
Yeah,
I lived when I was 17, so I go back.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But my sister, she's never left here or us. Now, if I
stay
here,
I'm going
to have to. Then you start migrating back to
very quickly, yeah.
What are we doing here?
My dad grew up in the Bronx.
And we should also talk
eventually,
the sheriff's
dad was a lawyer, graduated from New York University. Made enough money to move to Long Island, but my dad always kept that grovelly Italian Yankee type of voice, you know, just a little bit.
Yeah.
And
he's got one of our dogs, I think.
Okay.
Did you grow up in Jacksonville?
Yes, ma'am. All 67 years. Matter of fact, you know, my life has been confined, in living quarters at least. Well, with the exception of 12 years, where we lived about a mile and a half.
Okay. Very good.
We've been in the same neighborhood.
Same neighborhood.
Well,
the commission
52 years.
Yeah.
All I know is St. Marcus. All I know is growing up.
Right.
And I was like, when I die, I just throw my ashes out on the news avenue.
Yeah, that was funny.
You kind of look like you just did the same.
Yeah, yeah, no. I was like, don't you do the thumbs up? I was like, yes, I do.
Okay.
Hey, Sam, how are you?
I'm like, will do. But yes, bye.
Morning, Michael.
Good.
Steve, we ready?
All right. Terrific. Well, it is 8:31, and I call to order the Special Investigatory Committee on JEA Matters, and I am the vice chair of the committee. We are just so fortunate to have with us the chair of the committee, Councilman Roy Diamond. And before we do intros, I just want to ask the chair, how do you want to proceed?
No, I've been gone on active duty, as you know, and you've been running the show, so please continue running the show.
Roger that. Thank you, sir. Let's start with introductions with Ms. Mears.
Rita Mears, Office of General Counsel.
Matt Carlucci, City Council, Group 4 at large, visiting.
Sam Newby, Group 5 at large.
Nick Howland at large, Group 3.
Michael Boylan, District 6.
Rory Diamond, District 13. Good morning.
And Mr. Carlucci, thanks for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
All right. So first thing I always like to do in these meetings is review the charge of the committee, and I go directly from the letter reestablishing the committee on February 2nd, 2023, sent by the council president. And specifically, it reads, in order to ensure the people of Jacksonville that their city government was not deceived by any bidders or elected officials during the investigation into the attempted sale of JEA, I hereby renew and recharge the Special Investigatory Committee on JEA Matters. The committee is charged solely with the following. One, investigate whether the committee was deceived or misled by Councilmember Cumber of JEA Public Power Partners. Sorry, Councilmember Cumber or JEA Public Power Partners responding to subpoenas or making disclosures. Two, ascertain whether Councilmember Cumber attempted to use her official position to influence the ITN process for personal gain. And three, propose legislation to ensure that such deceptions, if any, do not impede the work of any future investigatory committee. So that is a charge. I always like to review it so we know the scope that we must maintain when we manage the matters of this Special Investigatory Committee on JEA. Little background before we ask Mr. Phillips from OGC to come up, which is item number 3. The last meeting we had was on March 9th. In that meeting, we had one motion, and that was to authorize the vice chair to file the necessary paperwork to refer the matter to the Ethics Commission for investigation into items 1 and 2 in the council president's charge to the committee of March 22. So in other words, the first two of the three that I read were referred to the Ethics Commission, and that was to be done on March 22nd. That motion was approved unanimously.
Mr. Chair, would you mind reading those first two
charges again?
Yeah, yep. If you wouldn't mind. I apologize for interrupting, sir.
No problem. Thank you. The motion was the Special Investigatory Committee on JEA authorizes Vice Chair Howland to file the necessary paperwork to refer the matter to the City Ethics Commission for investigation into items 1 and 2 in the Council President's charge to the committee, and to do so on March 22nd. Items 1 and 2 in the Council President's charge were, number 1, investigate whether the committee was deceived or misled by Councilmember Cumber or JEA Public Power Partners responding to subpoenas or making disclosures, and 2, ascertain whether Councilmember Cumber attempted to use her official position to influence the ITN process for personal gain. The committee did discuss retaining number 3 in that letter, in that charge from the council president, to discuss when the results of the Ethics Commission came back. So that's kind of where we left it off on March 9th, 2023. I did send the letter with counsel from the OGC on March 22nd to the Ethics Commission. Subsequently, the Ethics Commission declined to hear the investigation, and there's been some exchanges with OGC and the Ethics Commission on that matter. To that extent, unless anyone recalls anything else or wants to bring anything up from the past meetings, I'll bring up Mr. John Phillips, who can talk about what has transpired. Item number 3 on our agenda.
They were advised that they lacked jurisdiction to consider the matter by people who did not work for OGC. And subsequently, a motion was made at the Ethics Commission that they should not take the matter up because they lacked jurisdiction, and that motion carried. That advice that was given to them, it's not legally correct in OGC's opinion, and subsequently the general counsel wrote a rather lengthy explanation of why why that advice was incorrect and why the Ethics Commission actually could have taken the matter up. And with the understanding, of course, that although they had jurisdiction to take up the matter, they were not required to, and had the ability to refuse to do it, which they still retain. As I understand it, the Ethics Commission, through the chair of that commission, has asked Jason Teal to attend a meeting on Monday of the Ethics Commission to discuss his letter with them, and for whatever other purposes I wouldn't know, but there is a meeting on Monday at which Mr. Teal will be in attendance, from what I understand, as will I, and I imagine there'll be some discussion about the merits of what Mr. Teal's position, or I should say OGC's position, is. At this point, your options pretty much remain the same as they were before. One option would be to do nothing. Another option would be to ask the Ethics Commission to reconsider their decision in light of the fact that it was based on incorrect advice, and to take the matter up in their discretion, which they have the right to do. Another option would be to ask the executive director of the Ethics and Compliance Office to refer the matter to the Inspector General. Another option would be to simply refer the matter to the Inspector General from this committee. I don't see that there's any crime involved, so I don't know that it would be appropriate to refer it to the state attorney's office. So those are pretty much your options. You can ask the Ethics Commission to reconsider. You can refer it to yourselves to OIG. You could ask the Ethics Commission to refer it to OIG yourselves, or you could just simply vote to not do anything and proceed to consider legislation that could address some of the perceived issues that were brought to light by the original charge of the committee.
Okay. Mr. Phillips, I do have, for clarity, I'd like some discussion about the subsection C aspect. So the Ethics Commission's reasons for rejecting this body's request to investigate charges 1 and 2 were: our request did not qualify as a sworn complaint, and 2, that the allegations to be investigated are beyond the Commission's statute of limitations. That's why the Ethics Commission rejected it, and I believe, though I don't want to put words in your mouth, that that's what was the faulty legal advice given to them in doing so.
Well, to the chair and through the chair, they were advised on a number of points that were not correct. The first of which was, this isn't a sworn complaint, so we can't take it up. That interpretation flies in the face of the plain language of subsection C of 602.921 subsection C, which says, just to remind everybody, which says that the commission can seek information and gather facts for the purpose of reviewing any circumstance or situation of which the commission may become aware that appears to violate or may potentially violate an acceptable standard of ethics conduct for city officers and employees. Based upon such review, the commission may make such recommendations to the mayor and the council it deems appropriate. And that's what they were asked to do. So that they were then told that the statute of limitations applies to that, which it does not. The statute of limitations puts a limitation on prosecutions under the ethics code, but does not limit anything that could happen under subsection C, because under subsection C, there's no punitive action that can be taken. All that they were asked to do was to make recommendations for going forward and to find whether or not that there was, you know, cause for concern, which would result in some recommendations. They were also told that it didn't apply to investigate an individual, which once again flies in the face of the plain language of the statute. That particular advice was, well, I remember 12 years ago that there was some talk about that, but that, you know, that doesn't matter when you're construing a statute. It's what the first principle of statutory construction is, what does the statute say? And only if it's not perfectly clear do you even need to go into principles of interpretation. And it says quite clearly that they can look at any circumstance or situation that they become aware of that appears to violate or may potentially violate an acceptable standard of ethics. So the purpose of C is to look at, is there something that happened that should require legislative action? And that's what they were asked to do, and they declined to do that because based on being advised this wasn't supposed to apply to just one person, and there is no such limitation in the ordinance. You know, then the rest of it was amounted not to legal advice but personal opinion. You know, we shouldn't take this up because it's politically motivated. Well, you know, that doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that the accusation wasn't true. And, you know, I've seen a lot of ethics complaints over the years, and I can tell you that many of them are politically motivated. That is not supposed to matter. Whether it is or it isn't is, you know, has nothing to do with whether or not what happened violated the code or what happened didn't violate the code, but maybe the code should be changed. That's the issue with a subsection C procedure. I'll give you an example of the kind of thing that subsection C could cover. Several years ago, Sam Musa wanted to work for a company that had a contractual relationship with the city. And under the code that was drafted by Carla Miller and John Jolly, the way that worked at the time was the mayor could grant a waiver if the mayor chose to. It was an executive function. And so he did give Mr. Musa a waiver, and Carla Miller then intervened and successfully lobbied to get the ordinance code changed to set up a panel of three people to approve or not approve waivers instead of the mayor. That's the kind of thing that subsection C can address. And so, and once again, I'm not commenting on the merits of this. I don't know any more than anybody else. But the bottom line is the Ethics Commission had the ability to take that up, and their refusal to take it up based on a lack of jurisdiction is not correct. Now, they still can refuse to take it up. They don't have to actually even give a reason. But saying they lack jurisdiction based upon the advice they got was, in OGC's opinion, just bad legal advice. And so I imagine we'll be discussing that with them on Monday.
Thank you, sir. And I do want to emphasize that it was specifically subsection C that this special investigatory committee requested the Ethics Commission open investigation to. Let me read the letter sent on March 22nd. As vice chair of the committee and as authorized by the committee, we respectfully request that the commission, pursuant to its authority under Jacksonville Ordinance Section 602.921, subsection C, seek information, gather facts, and otherwise investigate the relative facts concerning two charges referenced above, including but not limited to whether there was a violation of Section 602.1205 of Chapter 602 of the Ordinance Code.
For through the chair, and that is true, and that is also what the claim that this wasn't a sworn complaint is a red herring. It did not need to be a sworn complaint in order to trigger a subsection C investigation.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Dunn?
If you don't mind, let me just kind of run through a couple of these things just so that I've got this nailed down, but I think I do. Let me preface this by saying I really like the Ethics Commission, and I have great respect for Ms. Carla and Kirby, and Frank, that legislation of the three panel, I mean, I wrote that legislation. I'm passionate about it. I know my colleague, Mr. Carlucci, has written a lot of ethics legislation also. So is my caller, Mr. Boylan. So... Yeah, I'm sorry.
I had water going around this place on that name, I got to tell you.
I'll be the only B after.
You guys need to sit apart. It would be a lot easier.
If I get it right.
But let me, where I'm landing on this is I think the Ethics Commission had jurisdiction to take this up and could have. And for whatever reason, they were just like, look, we're not gonna touch this. And whether or not they put it under color of jurisdiction or just we don't like it or we think it's politically motivated, I think this is a separate issue, which... You know, who is supposed to advise the Ethics Commission and what happens with this and what do we do with subsection C? I think that's an issue over here that we need to, like, straighten out. And, I mean, like, personally, I think that's really interesting legislation. It's really important. I think the people of City of Jacksonville want to know that we looked at that separate and aside from all this. But that's not the charge of this committee. The charge of this committee is whether or not we've got an issue with the council person abusing their position. And I think the people of Jacksonville want to know what the answer to that is. And, you know... My heart is, like, wholly on the side that I hope that it's just a nothing burger. And we all move on, and people of Jacksonville can feel comfortable that the committee did its job. We looked at it. We sent it to the right place. But now we're kind of stuck in this, like, abeyance land where I think even if we sent it back up again and said, hey, you got this wrong, we're going to get the same result, which is they're like, okay, well, we still don't want to touch this for whatever reason. So let me ask you this, two questions. One is, who advises the Ethics Commission? There's some smart lawyers on there. There's a judge on there. I mean, there's some smart folks, but still – they're there for their moral compass and for their, you know, the public's respect for them, not necessarily their legal analysis of our law. So who advises them?
Well, through the chair, there's an executive director, and then there's OGC is supposed to give them the legal advice they get. And I would remind everybody that they did receive legal advice in writing from us before that meeting. It made it perfectly clear they had the right to take this up.
Okay.
And then there was a long speech by Carla Miller making three points, and with all due respect to Ms. Miller, all three of her points were wrong.
And I love Ms. Carla, and I know her heart's in the right place, without question, just like without question. I don't, her integrity to me is fully intact. I just think that we have a difference of opinion, and I fully respect what you're saying. So let me ask this then. If we're going to get the same result by just kicking this up to the City Ethics Commission, why wouldn't we send this to the State Ethics Commission? And why didn't we do that in the first place?
Through the chair, I'm not aware that there was any part of the state ethics code that would have been violated by the alleged conduct. So,
just like abusive position isn't a violation of the state ethics code? I mean, that's kind of what the charge is.
If somebody wanted to make a sworn through the chair, sorry, if somebody wanted to make a sworn complaint about misuse of position to the State Ethics Commission, there was no need for committee action to do that. And that requires a sworn complaint from an individual.
Just anybody who, you're right.
That's right.
Sure.
That's right.
So
okay.
So there. It wasn't, I don't think it was ever really seriously considered as something that a committee would do. It's anybody can file an ethics complaint with the state commission, but it does require formally a sworn complaint by an individual, and there is no equivalent of subsection C in the state.
Okay. All right. I think I know where we're at. I think we have two separate issues.
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you. Mr. Colucci?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I find myself in the middle of very good attorneys, very good friends. I wanted to say this. As far as I remember, since I served on the Ethics Commission for the state of Florida, it would have to be an individual, I think, to make the complaint, because otherwise, back in those days, we did broaden the number of people who could or number of organizations that could send a complaint. The FDLE, the state attorney, and there was two or three, but this commission could not refer a complaint. It had to be an individual, as I understand it. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure, that's correct.
Okay. I want to go back and talk to you a little bit about Section C. Section C was introduced into this ethics by myself when I came up, or when I took the advice of a grand jury, which was in place back in the late 80s, and I read the report, and it said that there should be a local ethics commission established in Jacksonville. And so I said, there should be. And previous to that recommendation, that was caused by three particular council members who I won't name, who were under investigation, but they were not indicted. And I don't want to use their names because they're my friends today. But the so I began to craft with the general counsel, and I worked a lot with Steve Durden on this, and I worked I can't remember who the general counsel was. It wasn't Judge Harrison at that point, because Ed Austin had just come into office. I don't know if it was Gerald Snyder or who it was, but anyway. So I tried introducing an ethics commission, and I went for the whole enchilada, where the ethics commission could actually would have subpoena power, could call individual elected officials, appointed officials, employees, before the commission. Now, I have to tell you, this was the hardest piece of legislation I ever had to get through. It got appointed every committee, Charter Revision Commission. About the only committee it didn't get appointed to was the Property Appraisal Adjustment Board, which is now has another name. They were loving it to death. But I prevailed with the help of one John Delaney. So this took a lot of hard work to get in, to even get a start. I think this background's important. I hope you'll bear with me. So what happened, it became apparent to me through the tea leaves that there was not going to be any passing of an ethics commission that could investigate individuals. That was not going to be acceptable to at least 10 council members. So wanting to leave some investigatory power with the Ethics Commission to give it some teeth, I had Section C inserted. I inserted that language. And I inserted that language, and it was interpreted by the then general counsel, and my feeling was that it would allow the commission to, if they saw a situation or a circumstance in general that was occurring or had occurred in city government, that they could investigate that, but not investigate individuals. They can investigate the general problem as they saw it. And then once they established there was a problem, then they could recommend legislation to the council to correct any future problems that might happen. That's what Section C is about. Section C was never introduced. And if we could go back to the recordings of those meetings in those days, it was never given the ability to find probable cause on any particular person. It was only to look at circumstances and situations. And quite frankly, when I was trying to pass this bill, I spent as little time talking about this as I could because I was concerned that some council members might take that as being a way to sneak in and investigate individuals in city government. Now, I don't know what how that is interpreted from 1992 to, well, 2023. You know, I don't know. But I do know what the intent was. And the intent, and so when I asked you to please read the two reasons for this committee, it honed in on one particular council member's name. And I'm not here to defend that council member. I'm here to explain, for better or for worse, that to hone in on a council member is at least, maybe not legally, I'll leave the attorney work up to my good friend John and Carla. But the language there was intended to look at broader situations that may have been occurring in city government and to recommend legislation. And so I'm a little disturbed that this section here is used to delve into a particular city council person when that is not the original intent. Now, we can look back and see what happened, and we can have our own conclusions. And I think subsection C will allow legislation to be drawn up that might could address whatever this robust and elite body thinks is a remedy. But I will tell you, it was never, ever meant shine a light on an individual council member. And if it had ever been interpreted as such, the bill probably would have never seen the light of day. Now, I'm just telling you, that's what happened. And I also think former charter or our former ethics commission director Carla Miller sent a letter in, and it probably should be read in all fairness as a part of these proceedings. So I say all of that to say this: if you want to look at the larger picture of what happened and draw up legislation, that's what subsection C is for. If you're wanting subsection C to drill down on a particular council member, I defer to the attorneys and what they think, I guess. But I could tell you the attorneys back in that day said no, and that's not the purpose of it. And they said so in front of council committees. And I am just wanting to make sure that the intent of that section is held to the standard and to the eligibilities that were put in place in the beginning, and I was there in the beginning. So my recommendation would be to, if you want to ask the Ethics Commission, I would take out any particular council member's name. And again, this is not because I'm trying to take up for a colleague, but it's because I believe that violates the intent of what that section's for. That section, I think it could stay, or maybe it needs to be taken out, I don't know. But that was as close as I could get for the commission to have investigative authority. And I thought that personal background that I could give, that historical perspective I could give, might be of some value. And so I think if you move forward with trying to use that subsection to hone in on one particular council person and what they did, and trying to ask the commission if there was deceit involved and personal gain and all that, I think you're out of bounds. And I will say that I agree with Mr. Phillips. Whether it's politically motivated or not, if something wrong has happened, and if there's a situation that needs to be corrected through legislation, that's okay. But I will also tell you that I never created this Ethics Commission to be used as a weapon in political times. And frankly think that there should be a moratorium on when the Ethics Commission can be asked to even look at something like this during election time. Because what happened was the intended individual that is to be investigated, you had the meeting, then there was the headline. Put yourself in her shoes. And we also don't know whether or not and what advice that she may have been given in putting that disclosure together. Now, I'm on record saying I think she should have disclosed everything, but I don't know if she was being given different direction from federal authorities. I don't know that, and I don't think anybody here knows that. So I would say put the individual aside, look at the situation, and if there's a remedy legislatively to address the issue, that's how it should be done. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Carlucci. Mr. Boylan has some.
Just as a background, you know, as a reluctant member of this committee at the outset, you know, my focus was actually on charge number three, which is focusing on any appropriate policy changes that speaks to this. But that being said, and I've got a couple of questions, but first, Mr. Phillips, I'd appreciate it through the chair. If you could give some response, do you have any thoughts or response to what Mr. Carlucci said?
Through the chair, yes. And I don't disagree with the idea that policy changes could be made based upon this overall situation. But one of the things that Councilman Carlucci did say that is eminently correct is there is no ability in subsection C to find probable cause about an individual's behavior. That's correct.
Thank you.
And that's why the statute of limitations doesn't apply to subsection C, and why there's no punitive teeth to it. There's only a recommendation that can be made to the mayor and council as the commission deems appropriate. So, and I understand what Councilman Carlucci is saying, and I think that it's largely correct, but it conflates the idea of you can't look at the conduct of one individual under subsection C, but whether that was the intent, I wasn't there. We have to go on the plain language of the statute or the ordinance, which says they can review any circumstance or situation that they become aware of.
And Mr. Phillips, may I add one thing? That's why we use that language. We never said person or official or elected official.
Well, through the chair, that appears to or may potentially violate an acceptable standard of ethics conduct for city officers and employees. And the interpretation that Ms. Miller is advancing is you could only investigate it if plural employees or plural officers were doing something, and that doesn't make any sense from a statutory construction standpoint. It's the question that was asked of the commission is, look at this. Is this a problem, and should there be some fix to it? Intent or not, the plain language of the statute allows the commission to look at that.
And I want
to
hot.
And in any way, once again, I'm not saying it was a good idea to do it or a bad idea, and I'm not commenting on the merits of the situation. this is strictly a legal issue. Did the commission have the legal ability to respond to a request from a city council committee? And the answer to that, in OGC's opinion, is yes.
And it's the scope of this conversation really doesn't belong at this table.
Yeah. Right now.
It does. It's going to happen on Monday, as it should. And I, but I do want to put bold emphasis on that one statement you make, to take a look at this situation and to say what can be done to make certain this kind of situation doesn't occur again, correct? And in the background, in the context, go ahead.
Or to decide that it doesn't require any change. Yes.
Either or in that scenario. But also, it's really important to appreciate the fact that our decision, again, in background, to send it to the Ethics Commission, I think made it not so much about the individual and the individual's act, but what is the appropriate action that we need to put into place so this kind of mistake doesn't happen again.
That's right.
Well, through the chair, I specifically recall the original discussion of it involving we should refer this to the Ethics Commission.
Yes.
Because presumably they will take an unbiased look at it, and that way we can't be rightfully accused or wrongfully accused of doing something political. The committee had the right to do what it did, and the Ethics Commission had the right to consider the situation and make recommendations, which they fortunately or unfortunately, depending upon your point of view,
right,
they declined to do at the time.
And I'll offer, with respect to Ms. Miller's email or letter, I think that is a matter, but it's not a matter for this committee to take up.
I understand. So
okay. Basically, she's talking about some contesting the appropriateness of statute of limitations on these matters, arguing that we can go back 30 years and, file a complaint against somebody or whatever.
Through the chair.
But it's not a matter for this committee, is my point.
She can dig into
absolutely
her wrong position all she wants to.
Okay.
Councilman Newby has a question. I leave her comments or
you
have more.
Yeah, I've got a couple more. But real quick, if you don't mind. So I guess in the context of this conversation, reaffirming, right now it's in my expectations, and through the chair to Mr. Phillips, that the Monday meeting, the commission will make a determination as to whether or not they are going to accept the premise offered by the Office of General Counsel, and then make a determination expectedly. So we still don't want to do this, and which they have the right to do.
Well, through the chair, I don't know whether they will reconsider their previous ruling or not.
Right.
The letter invites the General Counsel to discuss his letter with them.
Sure.
And I imagine, based upon what you've just told me about Ms. Miller's email, there could be some lively discussion of who's right and who's wrong. Whether or not they choose to, I wouldn't want to predict whether they would reconsider or not, because I don't know.
Okay. Last but not least, and thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity. The Inspector General, we admit, in terms of referring it to the Office of the Inspector General, we made, I think, a determination we didn't want to do that for a variety of reasons, not the least of which it would then become more of an accusatory situation. Is that a fair statement?
Through the chair, you could make that argument. And that I think, in my opinion, that the appropriate disposition was made in the beginning to refer it to ethics because of the way it was referred to ethics. Specifically, could not have resulted in a finding of probable cause or a finding that unethical behavior occurred. It was to ask for whether there should be any changes made to look at the situation to see if it's something that should be prevented or addressed.
So, Mr. Chair, in concluding my comments, I would still stand on the prospect of sending. On the prospect of sending it to the IG for further.
Stand against.
Against.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Councilman Newby.
Well, I almost called him Councilman Boltman too. Councilman Waller asked all of my questions. I really don't have a question. I just have a comment. Let's all take a step back and let's go from the beginning.
You know, it was a letter sent to the president because of concern. And the president went to OGC like he supposed to, and he made a decision, and he just reinvened the committee. I don't think it was politically motivated. We just doing our duty as citizens to find out what really happened. I hope nothing happened, but we have a duty to find out what happened. We only just doing our job. This is what the people elect us to do. And so I don't really see, you know, about the big deal about, oh, they put a committee together. Council President Friedman did what he thought was right. I have been council president, and I give you a time, the thing came about the sheriff. That was a tough decision to make, but I did what I thought was right. And Council President Friedman did what he thought was right. And the reason why I got on the committee, he asked me to get on the committee, and I served to serve the citizens of Jacksonville. Let's take a, we need to understand that this is not, you know, we're trying to be politically motivated or something. We're just trying to do what's right for the citizens of Jacksonville.
I agree. I do have one question, just for clarity for Mr. Phillips, and that is the Ethics Commission did not reject our request for an investigation because it was regarding an individual under subsection C, correct? They rejected it because for faulty reasons related to statute of limitations and the fact that it was not a sworn complaint, and which are incorrect under the request under subsection C.
Through the chair, it's been a while since I listened to the audio of the meeting. I don't remember exactly whether the single individual part was part of the motion or not.
It was not.
My recollection is that it wasn't.
Yeah, it was not.
My recollection is that the motion was made based on lack of jurisdiction, and that passed.
I have the letter that explains that.
So I don't know that they made a determination about that. We addressed the issue in the general counsel's letter because it had come up and because they were given that advice. And once again, you know, I think that conclusion likely resulted from a conflation between an unwarranted conflation between what you do with a sworn complaint and what you can do with the subsection C review. Mm-hmm. You know, it is what it is at this point. And having said all that, once again, I would say also that the Ethics Commission can always decline to take up a request from based on subsection C, although you know, from the standpoint of the government, one could express the view that if a city council or a city council committee asks the Ethics Commission to look at something, one could argue that they should have done that.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Phillips, and thank you, Ms. Lehman. She has given me the exact wording of the motion in the Ethics Commission, which was specifically the committee found no jurisdiction to act on the SIC letter because, one, the request by SIC was not submitted in a sworn complaint under 602.921 subsection A, and two, even if SEC had filed a sworn complaint, the information provided to SIC and the commission related to events that are outside of the two-year statute of limitations. So.
And through the chair, both of those legal conclusions are incorrect.
Thank you. I appreciate that. For posture on the agenda, we've gone through reviewing the charge, OGC update, and committee member discussions and questions. Next, number five, would be next steps where we decide, I think, do we refer, what option do we take? And then six, Councilman Boylan in particular, I think, would like to talk about proposed legislation. Before we move on to number five, next steps, I have an official request here from Councilman Carlucci to have Carla Miller's letter read on the record, cognizant of what we sense, I think, is a disagreement between the ethics director or former ethics director and OGC on this matter.
Well,
OGC is the letter of the law in Jacksonville, but
I'll do it quickly. You want me to?
The letter was sent to the council president and to all the members of the committee, and I happened to get a copy of it May 10th, as out of respect that I started this whole thing a long time ago, and it's been improved upon many times. But I think before we go to next steps, it's only fair to read what she has to say. And this is me in my uncomfortable position because I have the highest regard for Mr. Phillips, the highest regard. And I know that he knows that, and for the general counsel, I do as well for Carla Miller. Dear Council President and Special Investigative Committee members, you have received an opinion from John Phillips, OGC, and General Counsel Teal on your referral of charges, in parentheses, Councilmember Cumber, to the Ethics Commission. I have worked on the Jacksonville Ethics Program and on the Ethics Code for the past 27 years. In fact, I personally wrote the provisions of the Ethics Code that are now being discussed. As a national expert in ethics and best practices of ethics commissions across the United States, I disagree with the legal interpretation of the code that was sent to you by OGC. Thus, the rub. The process approved by OGC and recommended to you in their letters is untenable for the future and as a disservice to the Ethics Commission, elected officials, and citizens of Jacksonville. It is the process that was discussed and feared by council members for the past 30 years. If the OGC process was followed, it opens the door to discussing all elected officials, all council members in public for any alleged unethical activity, and there is no time limit for doing so. One could file a complaint under Section C and bring up something that a council member did in a prior term or even 20 or 30 years ago. This would be considered abusive. To avoid future confusion, I recommend eliminating the provision I wrote in 2011, 602-921C. There's no need for this provision as the ability to look into situations generally make recommendations for legislation is codified in the charter. Carla Miller, Senior Ethics Advisor, City of Jacksonville. And everybody has a copy of that probably in your email. So,
terrific. Okay, so let's move on to item number five, next steps. And again, it's for committee member discussion, but it was clear that we discussed during the discussion what I believe are four possible next steps, potentially five. But one is now that the charges one and two of the SIC are back in our hands, do we do nothing on them and instead revisit three alone? Option number two is, do we ask the Ethics Commission to reconsider again under subsection C? Number three, Mr. Phillips brought this one up. Do we ask the Ethics Commission to reconsider again under subsection C and remind them that they do have the option in their purveyance to forward the investigation on to the Office of the Inspector General? And number four, do we send the investigation ourselves to the Office of the Inspector General? And I sense that is not a popular option. But those are four. There could be a fifth. We could consider the state attorney. I think that's also not a reasonable option. But let's open it up for discussion. I think, Mr. Diamond, you have some thoughts.
I think we're, given what happened at the City Ethics Commission and that you all, while I was gone, sent it up and said you need to look at this, and then they got bounced for jurisdictional reasons based on improper legal reasoning is kind of where I think we're at. So send it back up again and say, listen, this is the proper way to look at this. If you don't want to look at it, that's fine. Have the vote on the City Ethics Commission say, for whatever reason, no reason at all, for their own reasons, they don't look at it. But I think we're duty-bound to at least go through that process. I just can't imagine. And then I think that triggers a longer process of us looking at subsection C and some other pieces of the Ethics Code, and also maybe formalizing the way legal advice is given to the State Ethics Commission. Again, I have a huge amount of respect for OGC. Mr. Phillips and I have been like 10 rounds on 10 big issues, and of course Ms. Carla and I are close, and I love Ms. Kirby. So there are a lot of smart people who are all trying to do the right thing, but I think that it's the council's job to clarify that after the fact. But in the meantime, I think we are duty bound to like go through this process and send it back up.
That's my feeling exactly. What do Mr. Voting Members first, Mr. Boyle and Mr. Newby?
That's my feeling, to send it back up.
I think a do-nothing says that it keeps it in the hands of the Ethics Commission as it is, but I would lend credence to the committee as a whole to submit the request again? Is that what you're looking to do?
And if I can flavor it, I'm not making a motion, but I'm happy to, but with some sort of guidance that says it is this committee's belief, and we're one subsection of the city council, that they have this jurisdiction, that subsection C allows it, just to provide some clarity that, you know, they're going to have this discussion, but I do think when we send it up, we'd like them to make a substantive decision if they're going to take it up and not bounce it on procedural grounds, because there are none.
I sense that that was a question. I think,
please, Mr. Phillips.
Through the chair, I think all you have to do is to say something like, in light of the guidance provided by OGC, we are respectfully requesting that you reconsider your previous determination and take this matter up as original request.
So moved.
Mr. Chair.
Wait, do we have a second on that motion?
A second.
Okay. So there's a motion and a second on the table. We can open it up for discussion.
Quick question, Mr. Phillips. If I'm
yep.
So if they decide not to take up the matter, going back to, without using the limitations or other rationale for it, just simply decide not to do that, does that require some effort on their part to take a look at the situation and make a determination, or just reject it outright?
Chair, they have the right to tell you we're not going to look at this, and they don't have to give you a reason.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And just for clarity, the motion on the table is, in light of guidance by OGC, the Special Investigatory Committee requests that the Ethics Commission reconsider its March 22nd request for the Ethics Commission to investigate items 1 and 2 in the Council President's charge. We'll open it up to even non-voting members to discuss the motion. Mr. Krillage.
Thank you. I know I have to wait till the voting members have a chance to speak. I appreciate your graciousness allowing me to weigh in on this. What I would recommend is I think, somewhat similar to what Council Member Diamond's recommendation was, and I think everybody wants to send it back up. My recommendation would be to send to the Ethics Commission, but ask them to look at the circumstance and the situation of what happened, without using names, but referencing perhaps the occasion and the request, because they, and then ask if they would help weigh in with legislation ideas to help remedy this from happening again. That is the intent of Section C, and I think they would be more amenable to do that. And they may also look at if there's a request for disclosures, that everybody has to file a disclosure, because not everybody did, and that's up to them. That's their. But I think if you keep it to the circumstance that happened, we're not looking for probable cause, we're looking for a remedy so that this doesn't happen again. I think that's how you have to posture your request back to the Ethics Commission, and if you do it in such a way like that, I think you'll be more apt to have success in getting their engagement in the process. And I will be at that meeting Monday, and I'll take responsibility for that recommendation. But if you keep drilling in on wanting to, I mean, they're going to have to look at the particular council person, but that's not the main focus. The focus is the situation, the circumstances that went around that happened. They can maybe come up. Because that's what Section C is supposed to do. Look at the big picture. How do we remedy it? And that's what it says, recommendations to the council as it deems appropriate. That's the way that I would posture that. I don't know how you would write that. I'd give it to Mr. Phillips, and maybe he could, or I know he could handle that request. But I do think it should be sent back up. I just think it needs to be, I think it needs to be, the request needs to be more in line with what Section C is all about.
For clarity, Mr. Color Chair, are you suggesting we add to the amendment another request that the Ethics Commission review that the use of subsection C in this regard is never done again, or charge 3 from Council President's letter to propose legislation to ensure such deceptions, such as a false or misleading disclosure, do not happen again?
Yeah, thank you. I'm trying to be as clear as I can. I think the idea is more in line with number 3. Okay. From the Council President in asking for possible legislation that they could review without, you know, getting mixed up and trying to find probable cause and calling, you know, in all that business with a particular council member, because they could talk about other council members who wouldn't want their names mixed up in that, in the sunshine, who didn't file disclosures, and maybe for very right reasons.
Okay.
So I think Section C was intended for situations that happen in local government and for the Ethics Commission to help craft remedies through proposed ordinances to enforce the way the conduct or the behavior or the way council members should apply themselves to that ordinance. And not into getting into to the probable cause. You're just going to strike out there. But that's what that Section C is supposed to look at, the general purview of it, what happened, and if there's a recommendation that they have, then they can make that.
Thank you.
And send it back to you.
Since we are in the posture of discussion on a motion on the table, I will bring up that on March 9th in the SIC's meeting on March 9th, we actually discussed that exact thing, which was do we pass Council President Freeman's charge number 3 to the Ethics Commission as well? And I think that was Councilman Boylan's preference at the time. We discussed it, and then we decided not to do it, thinking that that's something that we could handle ourselves after the Ethics Commission got back to us with the results.
Mr. Vice Chair, I mean, what's the harm in just saying and? And send us anything down you think we ought to consider as policy. You know, I think I've taken a couple of their recommendations and made them.
I want to listen to the complete, interrupt, but I'm going to hear what the motion was again. And if that means adding on, if that's what Councilman Diamond's suggesting, I might weigh in on that. But I think you need to take 1 and 2 out and stick to number 3. That's just my opinion. And send it back to the Ethics Commission.
So, listening, I understand what Councilman Carlucci is trying to say. I would like to keep the motion the way it was, because I do think I would like our city Ethics Commission, I think we now have to go through this process and get them to resolve.
Yep.
Because now we're here. Agreed. And it's happened. We've already gone this far. We have a rather serious and important dispute. I mean, the Ethics Commission is important. This is important law, so I think we have to go through this, unfortunately. But I think we can also do and just get everything that Councilman Carlucci said in addition to. Send us down what other policy you think about disclosures and similar situations, because I think it's very clear we're going to have to write some law about this, because I don't think anybody wants to sit here again.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mr. Boyle.
Well, and to that end, and I had no problem in adding the and to the process as well. In our ensuing conversation here in a few minutes about ideas that we as council members may have, obviously because it's impacting us directly, could be a part of that conversation as well.
Yeah.
Because I do have a germ of some legislation I think we could consider.
I absolutely agree. Here's where I disagree, and that is that the charge of this special investigatory committee is not to weigh in on the merits of subsection C in the future. The charge of this SIC is these 3 specific aspects given to us by the Council President. That said, I do believe that if we want to amend the motion, I think we would withdraw the motion and then restate sending all 3.
Well, right. You could just do a motion to amend. So one of the voting members would need to make a motion to amend, then we need you to vote on the amendment, and then go back and vote on the motion as amended.
As amended.
Okay. Yeah,
but we could add charge three right there, just like we originally discussed on March 9th, took it off the table. Now we could just put it back, because you're right. Why not, unless Councilman Newby feels differently, why not ask him to give us feedback on that as well?
I'll make that amendment. I'll make the motion for that amendment.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion to amend the motion on the table, which would add charge three from the council president's charge to the Special Investigatory Committee in the request to the Ethics Commission.
And just, Mr. Vice Chair, I think we need to be really specific about what it is, because since it's going to be evaluated by a bunch of smart people in the Ethics Commission and OGC is going to be advising them, like, what does that need to say through the chair?
It means we also ask, Mr. Phillips might correct me, but we, besides our motion, which is in light of the guidance by OGC, request the Ethics Commission reconsider our original motion to refer the matter to the Ethics Commission for investigation into items 1 and 2 in the Council President's charge of the committee. Items 1 and 2 were investigate whether the committee was deceived or misled by Council Member Cumber or JEA Public Power Partners responding to subpoenas. Two was ascertain whether Councilmember Cumber attempted to use her official position to influence the ITN process for personal gain. And now the amendment adds the third charge, which is propose legislation to ensure such deceptions, if any, do not impede the work of any future investigatory committee. So it would be adding that to the Ethics Commission's investigation.
Through the chair, that would be correct. However, in subsection C, they have broader authority than just to consider three anyhow. So there's no harm in adding three.
But it keeps us within the realm of what our charge is. That's why I'm just saying.
Then we do have a motion to amend on the table. It's been seconded. That amendment adds charge three to charges 1 and 2, which passed to the Ethics Commission. And pending no further discussion, we'll do this by voice vote. All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All against say no. Okay. The amendment passes. Now we need to remove the motion as amended.
So moved.
Second. Second. Okay, and that is to, again, in light of the guidance by OGC, request Ethics Commission to reconsider items 1 and 2 and also add items 3, the charges from the council president. Any discussion on that motion? Okay, we'll do it by voice vote as well. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All against say no. All right, that motion passes. So this body will refer to the Ethics Commission charges 1, 2, and 3 from Council President Freeman's letter to the Special Investigatory Committee. All right. And with that, we move to next item on the agenda, which is indeed proposed legislation, which gives us the opportunity to either discuss it or wait until the Ethics Commission comes back with
it. Well, I'd like to offer this as part of the conversation and hopefully some feedback to the Ethics Commission in this process. As you know, as we entered in this was uncharted territory. At the good intention of Councilmember Priestly Jackson, who chaired the original SIC committee, she made the request and was confirmed, and I certainly the committee supported it, that we request of all the council members to make the kind of disclosure that was put forth. And I think it was well intended and perhaps appropriate, but I've got what I think is a germ of an idea in the context of this. And I've got it written down here. In the event that a special committee of the council or its leadership would request any form of disclosure apart from existing disclosures, the Office of the General Counsel should review and set the parameters of what members should disclose. So we weren't as specific as we needed to be in that request, and the Office of General Counsel could set the parameters, and Mr. Phillips, I'd appreciate your feedback on this idea. I didn't include in here, what I didn't include is the appropriateness of such a request. I think that is really within the purview of the council to do, again, it's in the form of a request. I'm just saying, in the event we ever have a situation, again, that this kind of unusual request is made, that there are clear parameters around which is intended to be disclosed.
Would this be in council rules?
This would be in council rules. It would be, yes, I would take it to the council rules committee to introduce. Mr. Some help.
Through the chair, I would want to have time to think about that before I give an answer to it. I think that the idea has merit, but how that would take shape and what it would look like is probably above my pay grade.
I offer it really as a suggestion for something for the Ethics Commission to think about as to how do we keep ourselves from, as you said, getting into this kind of situation yet again.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Mr. Kolich.
I think that Councilmember Boylan may be onto something there. I would recommend that Councilmember Boylan, through the chair, that you might attend the Ethics Commission, this coming Ethics Commission, which may provide you with an opportunity to share that as a possible remedy for them to weigh in on. If for some reason that opportunity doesn't present itself, then I would go to the next Ethics Commission. I think having their review and along with Mr. Phillips taking a deeper dive on that recommendation puts your germ, what did you call it, a germ?
Germ of an idea, yeah, exactly.
Germ of an idea. Puts it more, it would give it more weight. I would recommend perhaps attending the Ethics Commission meeting. That's just a suggestion.
I have to check with my wife.
I think it's a great thought. There was a couple others. That one was the first time this has emerged in the whole discussion of the SIC, isn't it? And that would have to be hammered out, I think.
Correct. Yeah, I'm not saying it's a complete legislation. It's just the start of the process.
Yeah. There was another idea that actually OGC proposed when we were asking what they could think of for legislative amendments to address charge number 3 to make sure this kind of thing never happens again. And one of them was 602.1205, which is duty to comply. And I think the issue on 602.105 was that city council was not listed in the list of agencies with city officials and employees required to cooperate in the course of official investigations, such as investigation by the Ethics Commission or the state's attorney's office. That was another one that we thought. One could say it's implied, but it's not specifically listed.
Correct.
And that could be a button-up to ordinance code. That could be something that we as a group consider or the Ethics Commission considers now that we're sending charge 3.
Mr. Vice Chair, the other thing I would just throw out there is, you know, as the guy who ran the original committee, I think that was, you know, the first time we'd ever use our subpoena power and, yep, you know, a full-barreled committee doing millions of documents, and we had to have outside counsel spend millions of dollars. And I think, you know, generally speaking, did great work over the course of that year. Is that maybe we need to have a little bit more robust regulatory scheme attached to investigations by the city council. Investigations, obviously, on the state and federal level are just, like, taking off, and they're huge. If there's not some sort of way of regulating these things and saying this is what they're for, this is how generally they should be run here, maybe delineation of their powers. I think if we did that, we could subsume a lot of this other stuff. Like, if we're going to ask for disclosure, well, here's who needs to.
We shouldn't do it piecemeal, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it because I don't like more law, but investigations, I think, are going to be happening more in the city's future. It's just a fact as we get bigger and spend more money and they're just becoming more commonplace in politics and government, that maybe we do need to look at what other cities, states have done when it comes to the regulatory scheme governing investigations. And, of course, OGC has such a big piece of this puzzle, and it wasn't always clear what OGC was supposed to do when it came to the JEA investigation. Likewise, we worked with the policy stuff with, you know, Carla Miller and ethics, and then, you know, the IG's office expanded at the same time. There's a lot going on. So it looks like this is just a pregnant moment for the city to look at how we run these things.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Good thoughts. Any other comments regarding that? I'm not suggesting that we take action on any of this today.
No.
This was a discussion around proposed legislation. Although, what do you believe for either both of your recommendations would be next steps?
As far as that, I think that you know, that's something we should maybe convey to Councilman Council Vice President Salem. That's something that he may consider for his presidency, and maybe a special committee to work on that. Certainly the upcoming council has got the bandwidth and the brain to come up with something good over the course of a year.
Yeah. Understood. And likewise, incorporating Councilman Boylan's thoughts, too.
Sure.
A bit larger.
I think I like where you're taking this thing, because mine is a band-aid to a given situation, but your point is well taken in that we maybe need to take a look at it in a larger, broader perspective.
Which is exactly what you did last time, so right. Careful, sir.
Very good. Any other discussion on proposed legislation? That brings us to what we do about a final report. And this is for discussion, because I didn't know where we would land on options for sending it to ethics or what have you. I know where we've landed now. I think final report probably it now awaits the results of the Ethics Commission.
Right.
And at that, so there's no need to take action on requesting OGC prepare a final report at this point.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. With that, we move on to public comment, and I don't see any comment cards here. Terrific. Thank you all for taking action today. With that, the time is 9:42, and we are adjourned. All right. Thank you.
Good job, Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for
absolutely. Yes.
For sure.
You didn't tell me.
That's fine.
I have a question.